The text is the Gospel reading, St. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. The Collect says that the Almighty and ever-living God has given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who believe. Do you find them in our text? Probably not. You're made uncomfortable by this text and don't come away with any promises, let alone exceedingly great and precious ones. Jesus promises there is a judgment day. This text is not a parable. It's reality. When Jesus comes in glory, all the angels will be with him, and he'll be seated on his throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate all people one from another. Now comes the only comparison, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The reality is, this is what King Jesus does. Three times the text refers to Jesus as the king, not once as the shepherd. Jesus here promises that he will distinguish on the last day between his sheep and the goats, between the blessed and the cursed among all the nations. No more of this. We're all sinners, you know. Meaning there is no difference between you who confess your sins, want to be free of them, and don't defend them, and those who admit what they do, wish to keep on doing it, and defend doing so. No more of this, all dogs go to heaven. Nope, some are going to eternal fiery punishment. No more of this salvation by death. That is, everyone who dies automatically goes to heaven. Nope, some keep on dying forever. The fifth Sunday in Lent is Judica. From the first word in the Latin introit, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Modern translation of Psalm 43 has vindicate me. That's what Jesus promises his sheep here, vindication. You who've hoped against hope in the Creator God that they say doesn't exist, you who believed in the face of mockery that Christ died to forgive your sins, you who have trusted that God is love despite tragedy, despite disaster, despite death, are going to be vindicated on the last day. Now, isn't that an exceedingly great and precious promise? Jesus promises you there is a heaven and it's a kingdom. Who doesn't love stories of Camelot, King Arthur, or Richard the Lionhearted? Only the kingdom of God is unlike any you dare hope for or imagine. Listen to how Paul describes it. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of forgiveness, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises that is prepared for his sheep from the foundation of the world. So, before you were born, before you did one good work, before you believed, hoped, or loved anything, it was prepared for you. King Jesus promises on the last days, after he separates sheep from goats, he's going to say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. Really, only the Greek verb inherit is there. King Jesus promises he will say, you must inherit the kingdom that has been forever prepared for you. Prepared, same word Jesus uses in the upper room. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. Okay, I can see how the promise of an eternal kingdom is exceedingly great and precious. But Jesus also promises there's a hell. Now, how is that great or precious? One, King Jesus says hell is from me, emphasizing hell as being separated from him. There is no God of the underworld apart from Jesus. The devil does not send people to hell, neither do sin or death. Your King Jesus does. In video games, animated shows, and some movies, the ruler of hell is depicted as monstrous, huge, unstoppable. Nope. He has no more part come judgment day except to be thrown in the same lake of fire that the beast and false prophet go into. And do note for whom hell is prepared. Jesus promises it was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for the goats, not for the damned. It wasn't prepared for people at all. That's where they end up. But that is not King Jesus' eternal plan for them. So why this promise of eternal hell? Well, it's a promise of a once and for all end to evil. Without an eternal end in hell, there would be, could be, no end to the fight. There would be an unending series of battles. In Scripture, Jesus' sheep lose almost every battle. But the promise of the sheep going to eternal life and the goats going to eternal death means we win the war. The final promise of the text comes from my mouth, but it's King Jesus' words. I promise you, he wants you to know today where you're going forever. Jesus is not a worse parent than us sinners. No loving parent wants to keep their kids on tenterhooks about their future. No loving parent deliberately keeps them in doubt. Right now is the time of uncertainty about disease, vaccines, government, finance. I promise you, he doesn't want you to be uncertain about your final destination. He doesn't want you unsure about what you will open your eyes to after you close them the last time here. Well, are you a sheep or are you a goat? You get all wrapped up in the feeding, the drinking, the clothing, and visiting. Don't trip over that word for I was hungry and you did or didn't feed me. It is not the same as saying you come or go to heaven, or you come to heaven or you go to hell because you did or didn't do that. The Greek word gar can be causal, that's because, but it can also be evidential. The works of both are evidence of being a sheep or a goat. They're not the cause of what they are. A wet sidewalk is evidence that it has rained. A wet sidewalk doesn't cause it to rain. And note, it's the goats who think they've aced the doing. It's sheep who say, when do we ever do any of these? But what's the reality? The words of Jesus prevail. He says his sheep did them, though they say they didn't. He says the goats didn't do them, though they say they did. Furthermore, sheep are not only called the blessed, but they're called the righteous. What makes a righteous person? God's word declares them that. It declares that all of Jesus' good works are theirs, and all their sins belong to Jesus who paid for them. The goats, they want no part of that judgment. They think they did just fine, feeding, watering, clothing, and visiting others. Hearing this mainly as about caring for the poor and needy leads away from the distinctively Christian point here. Caring for the poor and needy is not a uniquely Christian idea. The rabbis of Jesus' day, the Egyptian Book of the Dead before that, Muslims today, and even atheists make that same point. The distinctly Christian point is that the sheep are sure they're goats, and the goats are sure they're sheep. King Jesus promises on Judgment Day, before he mentions works at all, he'll separate all the nations as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Go to rurallivingtoday.com. It says on that website, we explain the difference between sheep and goats in appearance, temperament, herds, foraging, diseases, smell, and much more. What looks hopelessly jumbled to us, with most people believing there are no goats, with it being difficult to tell those in Christ from those outside by what they do, Jesus says it's as easy for him as it is for a shepherd distinguishing between sheep and goats. Okay, King Jesus can do this, promises he will, but you still haven't told me, am I a sheep or am I a goat? Do you hear the voice of the good shepherd? Then Jesus says, you're a sheep. Do you follow the good shepherd? Jesus says his sheep do, and they won't follow a stranger. Whoa, slow down. There are a cacophony of voices in my ears, many claiming they are the voice of the good shepherd. And there are many saying, follow me? That's true. So do you think, with all of eternity resting on this point, with eternal punishment or eternal life resting on this question, do you really think Jesus leaves it up in the air or wants you up in the air? I'm back to the point about Jesus at least being as good a parent as you are. We don't purposely leave our kids up in the air about what's for dinner an hour away. And yet we think perhaps King Jesus doesn't want us to be sure if we're hearing his voice and following him for eternity. First, don't look to what you're doing or not doing. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteous deeds, that's all our good deeds, are filthy rags. That means we can't point to what we do for the certainty of where we're heading. We sing as much as in Jesus, Lover of My Soul. I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin am I. Now that's a tough line. It's left out of the non-denominational hymns for the family of God. That verse is totally left out. The entire hymn is left out of the LCMS's latest hymnal. But it's by no means the only hymn that has this tough truth. In Just As I Am, we sing fightings and fears within, without, of being poor, wretched, blind. And in Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness, we sing, Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. King Jesus, not us, points to our works as proof, not of what makes us sheep, but of proof that we are. To us, however, they're just filthy rags. We follow Jesus' word, both law and gospel. What he says is sin. No matter if all the world says otherwise, we say it's sin because Jesus does. What he says is that what he says is the way something is, no matter if the majority of people disagree, no matter if your common sense disagrees, we say, thy word is truth. We don't defend our sins. We don't want our sins. We don't consider repentance to be saying, I'm sorry, that's just the way I am. No, that's what goats say. Those outside of Jesus go by their words, go by their thoughts, go by their judgments. Those in Jesus go with what he says, both in law and in gospel. He says in baptism, you are mine, and puts to death my sinful nature and gives birth to a new man created in him righteous and holy. The law says we're sinners and we confess that we are. Jesus says in absolution, I bought and paid for your sins. They belong to me and I send them away from you as far as east is from west. And we go by what Jesus says, not what we feel or others say. He says, my body and blood and all the forgiveness, all the life, all the salvation they won for you on the cross are present here today in my supper. Eat, drink, live. Baptism, absolution, communion promise to take you where King Jesus reigns forever because they bring him to you today. Now, how great is that? How precious is that? Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.